Blog Talk Radio.
From the nation's capital and the military district of Washington, today's colors will be presented by the Armed Forces Color Guard and Drummers and the President's Own United States Marine Band. Please welcome, on behalf of the NAD, ASL performer and Academy Award winner, Troy Kotzer. To honor America with the performance of the national anthem, 8-time Grammy Award winner, Chris Stapleton.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is your host, Jerry Williams. Happy Wednesday to you all. I'm sure it's Wednesday in a lot of places. If not, then happy Thursday. It just depends on what part of the time frame you are. Okay, let's get to it. We got a lot to cover, too, by the way. We have so much to cover that it's just unbelievable. All right, so here's what I got. I've been looking at some of this cancel culture stuff. And how many of you have been paying attention to the cancel culture stuff? Anybody out there been doing this? Because it's really interesting, some of the stuff they come up with. Everything from banning Aunt Jemima, which, by the way, Aunt Jemima was like my favorite pancake syrup. Oh, my God, was that pancake syrup good. But Aunt Jemima, or Aunt Jemima, Mama, ugh. They banned it because, of course, it has a depiction of a black woman wearing a, you know, That's what Aunt Jemima does. She has the maid outfit on her, the cooking dress or apron, and she has a head bandana on or whatever you want to call it. But she has that on, and of course, a lot of people start flipping out and saying that she is, that it's racist. You know, they're making fun of black people. I got to tell you, nowhere do I feel like this is something that we need to be concerned about. I never looked at the freaking Aunt Jemima pancake syrup and looked at it saying, oh my God, it's a black woman. I mean, I never did that. Enjoyed the syrup. Everybody knew where to get the good syrup from, right? And how do you get that good syrup? Well, it's pretty easy. You just look for Aunt Jemima on the shelves. And then, of course, they wanted everybody to change the bottles, make it different for the people who are out there. So Aunt Jemima was changed. Then you had Ben's Rice. You remember Ben's Rice? Oh, man. That's the other thing. You know, like a lot of people enjoy rice. They really do. People enjoy the rice. I like eating rice myself, but I think Uncle Ben's Rice was pretty, like, it was more famous for that it was, that you could cook it and it would be done within minutes. I mean, that was the specialty of Ben's Rice. Uncle Ben's Rice. But somehow society has taken that into that it's discriminatory, that if you put a black man or a black woman's face on a bottle or on a box, that it is discriminatory. I mean, for God's sakes, they're not saying Uncle Tom or anything like that. They're saying Uncle Ben's Rice, right? That's what they're saying. And then, you know, they went as far as started banning statues in different states. And, you know, these are statues where they have, like, they were like presidents and so forth that were like that were slave owners, right? So they owned slaves back in the day. And because they owned the slaves, they felt like, yo, we should not allow them to have any kind of recognition for what they did during the battles and so forth. Now, I will put out there, I'm going to put this out there, that it comes to the rebels, okay, that was the North and the South, the rebels, that was back in the Civil War. Obviously, the rebels lost, the Confederates lost, they lost the war. And so you have the Confederate Army, you have the Rebels Army, you have all this different stuff. And then you have the North and South. Well, the South lost the war. So what we have to do is we have to really consider it as taking the Confederates. That's the Confederates. The Confederate flag, people are like, let's take it down. If it's anywhere on a building, anywhere around on down, you know, around town, take it down. Even the Dukes of Hazzard car, you know, was so popular having the Confederate flag on top of the roof of the car. And so they wanted them to even change that. It's really amazing what cancel culture has done. Now, I'm not saying that a lot of the stuff, you know, isn't discriminatory. Well, some stuff is discriminatory. I can see how it would bother people in general. But it's getting to the point where if you even wear anything or do anything, it is considered against a religion or race. If I fart, well, it's discriminatory, you know, going against race or something. You know, I have no clue. But now I will say that some shit out here is kind of funky, man. So where I live at, there's a guy that has a house. It's been in the newspapers and everything. And so this guy has all these little statues out in front of his home. And the statues are of a black little guys, like these little black I don't know what the hell they are. They're like yards, you know, those old yard statues where they're black and you have the jockey and you have the different ones. But anyway, he has a whole bunch of them. and he puts them out there in front. And the one thing that's really funny is he has one that actually is holding a watermelon. And I have to say that bothers me, you know, because that is kind of discriminatory. In a sense, it is. Now, people out there may not see it as discriminatory, but it is discriminative. So when it comes to cancel culture, there are some things I believe in that need to be canceled or adjusted, and then there are some stuff that it's getting a little out of hand on type of shit. You know what I mean? You know, I have no clue when it comes to some of that stuff, but, you know, when you start screwing around with Pepe Le Pew, who was my favorite cartoon character, a little skunk. Remember Pepe Le Pew? He was a skunk that would always chase the women or the female skunks. And so they would always call him, you know, the sexual. So here's what cancer culture says. Cancer culture says that he preys upon females and it's a sexual predatory. Therefore, they cannot or allow for him to be on there. Interesting, huh? All this is interesting, really. So, you know, cancel culture, that's what it is. Now, what it really gets into is the next subject, which is LGBTQ community. Now, there are a lot of people out here. I know personally a lot of family and friends who are gay. They are lesbians. I know one family member in general who's a transgender, and I don't have a problem with either of any of them, because what they do is what they, you know, it's their life. So if they want to go out and they are gay, let them be gay. I'm not going to tell my nephew, well, yeah, just because you're gay, you're not gay. And it's funny because society has taken the word gay or lesbian and made it into something really evil and bad. And so parents are so scared of that those words of gay, lesbian, transgender, and binary. They cannot stand those words. So they get scared. I've had people call in on the show here where they're like, well, if my son is like 8 years old and, you know, he's playing with like little dolls or whatever, you know, and he says he's gay, then I don't believe him. I think he doesn't understand the difference between that. But let me tell you this. I told him, when he gets older, he's going to choose what he is. And, you know, you're going to have a problem with fighting that because are you going to accept him? Are you going to look at him that he's evil and disgusting? Because if you go that route, you're going to have more problems than anything you've ever imagined. And not only that, but you're going to harm that young man because that's what happens. When family members start to deny or support their sons or daughters who are gay or lesbian or transgender, they don't want anything to do with them. They're scared of them. A lot of them are Republicans. Yes, I'll say it again. A lot of them are mostly are Republicans. And they are against everything that is about gay sexual homosexuality. And so what they'll do is they'll start throwing out the words of the Bible. They'll say, well, the Bible says this, and the Bible says that. You can't do it. You're not going to do it. I mean, there are even churches out there that are ran by the way, Republicans, who try to do exorcisms on these children. When the child comes out and says, I'm gay, they do an exorcism saying that they're going to pray away the gay. I mean, that's how sickening it is. That's how stupid it is. And it's funny that people actually bring this shit up, but they do. Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, with the gay and lesbian community, the Republicans are really becoming sticklers for saying, hey, you know what, they're not allowed to be able to boast about themselves. They're not allowed to have these parades. One of the states actually passed a bill saying that if a man dresses in a woman's dress, that they will be prosecuted for it. It's now a crime if you want to wear a woman's dress. Now, I don't know what that's going to do for Lindsey Graham, or how about many of the other Republicans, because there's a lot of the Republicans who are secretively gay, and they're not telling anybody because they want to, go out and look like, oh, I'm the good Republican. I'm a Christian. There's no way that I'm gay or I like to wear women's clothes. It just doesn't happen. But it is true. They look for signs to look for things that are people saying they're gay. And to me, again, it's just dumb. And it bothers me that people think this shit. And there was actually one, there was a Republican I know for a fact. That was out here boasting about it, saying, hey, I don't ever play around with this shit. I don't do blah, blah, blah. And this guy, this Republican, actually passed a law against gays and gay rights and so forth. And so he got caught. This Republican got caught on a young man's this young man, he's 20-something years old. He's a gay man, and apparently he was on there talking to him on his Instagram, and so now he was actually trying to tell the young teenager he was cute, sexy, blah, 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 and, of course, he thought, well, if I tell him that, then, if somebody asks me, here's what I'm going to say, and here's what he said. He said that I try to talk to people on social media to try to interact and help them. Help them do what? That's my question. But the governor was Tennessee Lieutenant Governor Randy McNally in Nashville. So the Lieutenant Governor of Tennessee recently passed multiple bills that targeted the LGBTQ people and their culture, has been frequently commenting from his verified, by the way, hear that word, verified, Instagram account on shirtless photos of a young gay man. The Republican Lieutenant Governor Randy McNally, who also serves as Speaker of the Senate, has left supportive and arguably flirtatious comments and emojis under risque social media photos posted by Franklin McClure, a 20-year-old performer from Knoxville who goes by the name of Franklin Superstar on social media. So this Lieutenant Governor, Randy McNally, who was on this young man, Franklin McClure, he goes by the name of Franklin Superstar on Instagram. The boy's a young boy. He's gay. He posts photos of his pants pulled down to where, it's pretty much shows partial of his, the top of his line of his dick almost coming out, basically. It's pretty sexual in the pictures. But this guy, this lieutenant governor, decided to jump on there and give different responses. And the response to a photo of McClure dancing outside in his underwear, McNally, the lieutenant governor, wrote, "Love it," with heart emojis. And other close-up photos, McClure's backside, where he's only wearing what appears to be briefs, McNally wrote two comments. Finn, you can turn a rainy day into rainbows and sunshine. And another with hearts and fire emojis. To which McClure responded, you are literally always so nice, King, with a heart emoji. And other images where McClure's shorts are pulled down a little. McNally commented, super look, Finn. Finn is McClure's nickname, by the way, according to the Facebook page. McNally posted more than 80 comments on McClure's Instagram account that dated back as early as June of 2020 and as recently as February 26. So in October 2020, McClure posted a video of him singing and with a caption, when will we appreciate others while they are here and not wait until they're gone? And I'm trying to survive. I try to catch my breath, and I break down and cry. Not doing good. I'm doing just fine. When was this in my life? McNally left two concerning or encouraging comments on this post. One, he says to McClure, he is not invisible, and added, in part, people do appreciate you. Life is full of pain, loss of tribulations, but it also full of great comments of humanity, and people are giving themselves to others for a great cause. McNally told McClure that if he ever feels overwhelmed with anxiety or cannot sleep, McNally could help McClure get in touch with someone who can work with him in dealing with that situation. So the Lieutenant Governor McNally actually was on this young man's site. And, you know, he was out there posting shit and everything else. And so the Republicans are out there talking about how they're against homosexuality, how they're against anybody who is, you know, knowing that they're against the homosexuality. But look at all the shit they're passing. I mean, look down in Florida, like DeSantis is going against the LGBTQ community, even going against teachers who speak about it. And not only that, but there even are other states where some states are, like I said, passing a law to where they have that men cannot wear dresses. And it's just getting really scary that they have targeted the gay and lesbian community. And it's going to get worse, folks, before it gets better. So I was thinking about this. I said the Republicans and gay. But wasn't there a time when the Republicans came out and there was actually gay people that joined the Republican Party?
It's time to dispel that stereotype. Through a lavish musical number. Hit it, Joshua!
It's impossible, you say, to be Republican and gay. But baby, like Virginia Slims, we've come a long, long way. It once was thought to be a fairy meant voting for Bill or Terry, but not today. We're red and we're gay. Jeff and Paul like hot pectorals and good old-fashioned Christian morals. Hey, 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 hey. We're red and we're gay.
Our loafers are light, but we still vote for the right. It's true we can't win, but we support the fan. We like each other's butts and big old spending cuts.
We like to pack fudge and heat.
Big long guns with ivory handles go well with my scented candles, yay, N-R-A. Let's take a spa day.
Your skin looks so toned. Now spritz with fancy cologne. These pants make you slim. U.S. defense we won't trim. Have a pastry or two. We'll get a trainer for you.
Have you met Hot Andrew?
Ava Longoria is a client and a close personal friend.
Oh, it's fun to do things our way. Don't take our word. Ask Ernie, Bert, or Manet.
We're red and we're gay. 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 We're red and we're gay.
There you go. They're red and they're gay. The national anthem for the Republicans of gay. Also, we're going to discuss here on the show tonight, we're going to discuss a little bit about Donald Trump as well. Donald Trump, who is probably the most disgusting man on this earth, who has publicly announced that he's running in 2024. He's supposed to be doing something, I think it's in California somewhere, where he's going to officially announce it. But a lot of people are saying that Donald Trump is facing a lot of serious shit right now, and a lot of them believe that he will be in trouble and he will not be able to run in 2024, that they'll actually block his ass from running again. And that is possible, and it could happen because he's in five major lawsuits, that one of those could actually end his career, is trying to run for president of the United States of America. So that is something that is very serious that's coming up. Oh, by the way, in the Oscars, one of the things I have to say is about the Oscars is that I'm very proud that Brendan Fraser, who was a great actor, by the way, that he won the best actor. Now, yes, I would say that I am a big Austin Butler fan, and I would say, yes, Austin Butler would have should have won, and yeah. But I truly believe that Brendan Fraser really deserved it because his story is magnificent. Brendan was kicked out of Hollywood because somebody that touched his butt, and of course once he brought that out about this person, it hurt his career. Also, he injured himself when he was doing these movies because he did all of his own stunts, and he did like major surgeries every year. And so Hollywood turned their backs on him, and eventually they just forgot about him. And it's sad because this man, Brendan Fraser, comes out and he does the movie called The Whale. I have never seen that movie yet, but if you haven't seen it, I heard it's really good. It's about a 600-pound man that is a teacher and a professor, basically. And he battles a lot of things in his life. And it's like I said, it's very sad. I've heard this. And I've seen the previews for it. And I'm going to have to say that he does an excellent job portraying that. Really does. And then also let's discuss a little bit about the situation with Fox News and Dominion. It is fucked up what they're doing against Dominion. And, of course, Dominion is already suing Fox for their misinformation comments. And, of course, Fox never wants to tell the truth, so they always lie.
Pretty stunning response from Fox Corp CEO Lachlan Murdoch. In his first public comment since the Dominion revelations, Murdoch dismissed the allegations as noise. He said, quote, "I think a lot of the noise that you hear about this case is actually not about the law and not about journalism. It's really about the politics." Murdoch continued, "Unfortunately, that is more reflective of a polarized society that we live in today." He also included that the case will go to trial in April and portrayed Fox as having reported on the 2020 election, quote, "fulsomely and without fear or favor." Now, for those wondering if you're living in the Twilight Zone, no, you're not, but Lachlan Murdoch might be. So let's dig into what he said. He stated that the allegations aren't about the law or journalism, it's about the politics. And if he's talking about Fox's behavior and coverage, then he's right. This had absolutely nothing to do with journalism and everything to do with politics. Fox wanted Trump to win the election, and so, in stark contrast to any semblance of journalistic principles, those Fox hosts promoted Trump acolytes and the conspiracy theories they were spewing, despite knowing it was all bullshit because they wanted to help their candidate. So when Lachlan Murdoch says that it's not about journalism, it's about politics, he was absolutely right, just not in the way that he intended. Murdoch then goes on to say that the allegations are, quote, "more reflective of our polarized society that we live in today." Yeah, I wonder how it got that way. If only we could point to the advent of a partisan right-wing empire created solely to ensure that the criminality of another Republican president never again led to a resignation or dilution of conservative power. Tell you what, if anyone has any guesses, I'd love to hear them, because I'm stumped. All of which is to say, if you are wondering why we live in a polarized society, Murdoch could quite literally point to himself and the company he runs. Again, there's no journalistic integrity there. It's a propaganda arm of the Republican Party. It is there to run cover for Republican politicians, regardless of their criminality. Donald Trump incited an insurrection, and they are still, to this day, going on air and pretending that it was some tourist visit.
But is January 6th the worst assault on the U.S. government since the Civil War? That's insane. It's not even close. How about March of 1954, when Puerto Rican separatists shot five congressmen in the Capitol building? Five members of Congress shot in the building. It's all bad, but the worst since the Civil War. You're just a flat-out liar if you're saying that. More recently, this is an event we all remember, Antifa descended on Washington, D.C. to force the sitting president from office. But it was Trump, so that's cool. But the tape that we reviewed from within the building on that day proves it was neither an insurrection nor deadly. Here it is.
January 6th, when an estimated 2,000 rioters breached the Capitol building, causing the deaths of five police officers.
Certain dates echo throughout history. December 7th, 1941. September 11th, 2001. And January 6th.
The mob beat officers with anything they had on them, hockey stick, a flagpole, a fire extinguisher. Police officers died.
Donald Trump supporters, who, of course, rioted and killed police officers.
By the evening of January 6th, the Democratic Party and its publicists in the national news media had settled on a description of what had happened that day. They distilled an enormous number of highly complex events, events that even now we don't fully understand, into a single emotionally-laden political slogan, which they've repeated for years with remarkable discipline. January 6th, they said, was a deadly insurrection.
There was a deadly insurrection that the right wing is trying to cover up.
He incited a deadly insurrection.
Incited a deadly insurrection.
The violent, deadly insurrection on the Capitol 9 months ago, it was about white supremacy, in my view.
A deadly insurrection. Everything about that phrase is a lie. Very little about January 6th was organized or violent. Surveillance video from inside the Capitol shows mostly peaceful chaos. But the slogan worked. The term deadly carries enormous emotional power, which is why they used it.
So if Fox has to create a parallel version of reality, that's clearly what they do. They will create another version of reality because the actual version is too damning for them. And in their version, Republicans never do anything wrong and Democrats are all coming to destroy everything you hold dear. Do the people feeding you that stuff know that it's straight disinformation? Absolutely. Do they care? Not in the slightest. And finally, Murdoch's quote that Fox reported on the 2020 election without fear or favor. The notion that Fox reported without favoring one side over the other is such aggressive bullshit that I cannot wrap my head around how he could say it with a straight face. Here's an example of how he's lying. When Fox reporter Jackie Heinrich did try to fact-check one of Trump's statements about the stolen 2020 election, she was attacked. Heinrich tweeted that there was no evidence of voter fraud from Dominion, and in response, newly revealed text messages show that Fox hosts and executives lobbied to get her fired. Tucker Carlson told Hannity, please get her fired. Seriously, what the fuck? I'm actually shocked. It needs to stop immediately, like tonight. Carlson said that he just went crazy on Executive Vice President Mead Cooper over it. Hannity said he'd already mentioned it to CEO Suzanne Scott. I just dropped a bomb. Suzanne Scott then told Fox President Jay Wallace and Senior Vice President for Corporate Communications Irene Bagranti that Heinrich, quote, has serious nerve doing this, and if this gets picked up, viewers are going to be further disgusted. So when Fox tries to use this defense that they were simply broadcasting the news without fear or favor, just know that that is not at all what they were doing. They were working not as a news network, but as political operatives under the pretense of a news network. They were showing only one specific narrative and outright punishing reporters for daring to show a different narrative, one that just so happened to be the reality. And let's be clear, Lachlan got close to acknowledging that Fox isn't a legitimate news outlet without saying as much. He said that Fox News is not just a news channel, but a company that speaks to middle America and respects the values of middle America. Although I'd amend that statement to read that Fox is not a news channel at all and exploits the people of middle America for financial gain. Murdoch and his network don't care about these people, but they do know that they can use them as marks. Think about it this way. Fox effectively conditioned its audience to think a certain way. For example, Fox endorsed the Trump claim that the only way he could lose the election was if there was fraud. And so when Fox rightly called Arizona for Joe Biden, the audience that, again, was conditioned by Fox to believe that it would be a statistical impossibility for Biden to win Arizona, they immediately revolted. Thanks to this lawsuit, we know that internal emails read, "Holy cow, our audience is mad at the network. They're furious." And that audience started to defect to networks further right, like Newsmax and OAN. That is the extent of the brainwashing that came as a result of Fox's years of conditioning its audience. Again, it wasn't because Fox believed what it was serving its viewers. It was because Fox knew it could profit from it. Murdoch literally said the quote, "It is not red or blue, it is green." It is about exploiting their own audience for profit by giving them what they want to hear, what they've conditioned them to hear. That's Fox's business model and nothing more. So let's be honest here, we shouldn't be surprised when the guy who runs the network responsible for spreading dangerous disinformation also spreads dangerous disinformation. This isn't a bug, it's a feature. It's their whole business. So while I hope that Fox loses a boatload of money in this Dominion lawsuit, I'm more hopeful that some of their viewers will recognize the ways in which Fox has betrayed their trust by feeding them outright lies in public while telling the truth in private. Because I've said it before and I'll say it again, no one has more disdain for its own audience than Fox. Before you go, a quick announcement. I've started a Spanish YouTube channel. Democrats desperately need to be able to appeal to Spanish-speaking audiences.
Okay, there you go. So we all actually forgot about that, right? Dominion, and not only that, but January 6th. How do you feel about Tucker Carlson getting all those videos from McCarthy? Why the fuck did McCarthy even send them to Tucker Carlson? And why are they fucking posting stupid shit? By the way, Tucker Carlson saying what he did, saying that these were just peaceful, this was a peaceful protest, or he was actually saying they were just like they were visiting the Capitol. This guy is a buffoon, and he supports domestic terrorists, obviously. But it's pretty fucking sickening when you actually look this guy up and see what he's all about. But, people are very upset with the way he's been doing this. Really, it is. All right, let's get Paul in.
Break me down. You got a lovely face. We're going to your place. And now you got to freak me out. Scream so loud. Getting laid. You want me to stay, but I got to make my way. Hey, y'all crazy bitch, but you fuck so good I'm on top of it. When I dream, I'm doing you all night. Scratches all down my back to keep it right on. Hey, y'all crazy bitch, but you fuck so good.
Hey, Miss Paula, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm half awake. I fell asleep, so I apologize. I was
aww,
late getting here, but
you're okay, sweetie.
I've had a rough 2 days, but anyway.
I know.
How are you feeling? Did you tell everybody what happened to you?
No, I didn't. Not yet. No,
okay.
Not yet. I've. Well, no, not yet, but it's funny that I was waiting for you to come in, so that way, if I if I did, if I was going to go through this, I wanted to make sure you're with me, so that way I didn't have to say it twice, and that way you could be here with me when I said. So for everybody that what Paula's talking about is that I had a so last Wednesday I had a heart attack, and It was really kind of scary. I ain't gonna lie. But the funny thing is, the weird thing is that I was at the. So I went to the hospital the night before, and I started having like stomach issues. Like it felt like it was indigestion up in my upper chest. But the weird part is that there was a pain in my. There was a pain in my jaw that, that kind of bothered me because what it felt like, and I'm not going to lie, but it felt like it felt like a nerve pain, and you know, like when you get nerve pain, if you've ever had a tooth that has a nerve that is exposed, like it hurts, right? I mean, if you've ever had one of those, then you would know. But it does. It hurts like a motherfucker. And so what happened is that, you know, I had the situation to where, you know, it hurt so bad that it made me very seriously nauseous and sick. And so what happened is the pain in my jaw, which was my left jaw, and then it went down my neck and then in my chest, and it kept burning, burning, burning. And I said, well, I'm going to go to the hospital. Well, they gave me an anti-inflammatory, a GI cocktail, and they sent me home. Well, the next day, it started coming on really strong. Then it would go away. And then I said, Jen, I need to go to the hospital. So I ended up going to the hospital. They did all this tests again, including the EKG and all that shit. And they said, it's got to be your upper GI. And they said, we're going to give you some medicine for pain. So they gave me fentanyl, and they gave me Dilaudid, two shots that didn't even take away the pain. And I was in so much excruciating pain that I was literally cussing and screaming at the doctors and nurses. And that's not me. So she said, we're going to put a cardiac monitor on you, and we're going to run a couple of EKGs. We're going to do a blood work to see how your heart's doing, the enzyme in your heart. And this will tell us if you're having a heart attack. Well, they did the test. Everything's normal. No problems. Then they did a second test. Everything's normal. No problem. And then within like the third or fourth test, that's when she was observing it at the station, nurse's station. The doctor took her time basically to watch only my monitor, and she diverted all of her patients to other doctors. And as she was watching it, she seen me having the heart attack. And she come in and she said, you're having a heart attack. And she goes, we need to get this taken care of immediately. And then she gave me a nitro to the tongue, nitro drip, and then the pain started going away. Then they contacted AirCare, which took about 30 minutes. The AirCare came, picked me up, took me to the hospital. And as soon as they pulled me out of the helicopter, we went into the building, and then, man, I was greeted with like freaking 12 nurses and an anesthesiologist and shit. They're like, yep, we're gonna go ahead and get you started. The doctor came in and he's like, hi, my name's Dr. Rand, whatever, and he's like, I'm a cardiologist, I'm getting ready, we're gonna do an angioplasty. So they went in there and they found out that one of my arteries was 99% blocked. Another one was 75% blocked, and the other one was 75. The 99% blockage, when they call that the widowmaker, because it kills you. If I would have went home that night, thinking that it was stomach again, I would not be here. I would have been dead. But what's funny is, Paul, and this is why I say this, I felt like my spiritually, they were telling me that I had to get to the hospital immediately, and that's what I was listening to. And I just kept hearing it over and over, saying, you got to be at the emergency room. Well, while I was at the emergency room, I was not having a heart attack. It happened while I was there. So obviously somebody knew I was about ready to have a heart attack. God, my spirit, you know, spirit guides, whatever, but they knew. And they wanted to make sure I was in the right place at the right time when all this went down.
Right.
But that's
right.
What happened.
Yeah, and I just so happened to still be awake when Jen called me at, like, it was somewhere between 5 and 5:30 in the morning. And I guess she was going to leave a voicemail. But I was just about to go to bed. And she called me and said, I don't want to scare you, but Jerry had a heart attack tonight. And I went, ah! No. I'm like freaked out.
I know.
And You know, and then she went on to tell me how you were doing good, that you'd had surgery and that it went well. So,
yeah.
And she said, show would probably be canceled for Sunday because, you know, you'd probably still be in the hospital. But you still weren't feel like doing the show Sunday night. So,
I wasn't. I actually was felt like shit. but I felt weak, and I still every once in a while get a little funky, you know. Like, but they said it'll take weeks before I start feeling better. 100%, you know. So, but I will say that it was funny because when I woke up in the hospital, because all I remember is talking to the doctor. I remember a couple times he told me not to move my arm. He says, "Mr. Blanchard, don't move your arm." And I was asking questions and shit. And I remember saying that. I don't remember what I asked, but then after a certain point, I was like totally knocked out because when I woke up, I was in the ICU, and I looked over on the wall, and there was this window-looking thing. I was like, "Hey, I'm awake. Come here, motherfucker." You know, I'm trying to get their attention. It wasn't a window. It was a fucking TV. and so the nurse pops in.
From?
She's walked.
Go ahead.
The nurse pops in and says, "Are you okay, honey?" I was like, "Did you see me waving over there in the window?" She goes, "Honey, that's a TV." I was like, "Oh, what a dumbass." But she's like, I was like, "I need a phone immediately. I need a phone right now." She's like, "It's 5 in the morning." I said, "I don't care. I need a phone. I need to call my wife." Because that's the first thing you think of, is making sure that your wife knows that you're okay. So, but that's
right.
What happened to me.
Right. Right. Well, she was updating us on Facebook, so that's good. But you know why people do that? When you come out of anesthesiology, you say crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know I had a boyfriend there in Cincinnati when I lived there that had to have a great big cystic. It was the drummer that I dated, the one. Anyway, he had a great big cyst on his wrist, and I was the one who drove him to the hospital. It was day surgery, and I was in the room when they brought him back. Now he was a total coffee drinker. He would drink coffee 24/7. And so they brought him in the room. I'm in his room. They were bringing him in to recover in. And I'm already there, and they wheel him in, and all of a sudden he kind of halfway jumps up on the gurney as they're wheeling him in and goes, "Where's my coffee?" This was the first words out of his mouth. Was, "Where's my coffee?"
Damn.
Not knowing what he was saying. You know what I mean? You say silly things when you're coming out of anesthesiology, so that's why it's okay that you thought the TV was a window.
And you know, it's funny, the next day I was like, because not majority of the time when I'm under anesthetic, last time I ever had it done, you know, I was in my 20s, but I was thinking, shit, I'm not even hungry. And so the next day you're like, "Hey, what do you want for breakfast?" And I'm like, "Oh man, let's just do this and this and this." And they brought me the food. I didn't even touch it. I'm thinking, I just can't eat. And then I was like, I really like soups. And she's like, "We got tomato soup." I'll take that for lunch. And then they brought me the tomato soup, and I tried to eat it, and I was like, this is the nastiest shit. It tasted like pizza. It was pizza sauce in fucking water. And I was like, it ain't going to happen.
Ew.
It was gross.
Ew.
It was gross.
Well, that one meal they fixed you in the hospital looked good.
Yeah, now that's the only one that was good. It was like beef tip and something like, I think it had beef tip and it might have had carrots and some other shit in there. It was like, it was a pot roast is what it was.
Right.
And that was actually pretty good. I ate that.
Yeah, that looked good. But anyway.
You know, and
I'm so glad.
I can try some things, but some of that I can't, so. Me too. And I feel like, I ain't going to lie, everybody, I feel like 30 years younger because I feel like I have energy now. I feel more, I don't know, I just feel like I'm more, the only way I can describe it is it just feels like I'm, like I feel younger. I feel like I'm awake. I feel like, you know, that I can move around better. I can, you know, I just feel like I have a young body again. That's what it feels like. But my doctor, right. When we went to the doctor, yesterday I went to my family doctor.
Yeah.
He said that the blockage I had been there for a long time, that it was building up and kept building up and building up and building up. And so he said that you've had it here probably, I would say maybe, he said it could have been a year or so. But I noticed that I was having a lot of chest pains throughout the year, and I was always going to the urgent care or whatever, and they would say, oh, it's just muscular, and then they would give me a shot of an anti-inflammatory and send me home. It would relieve it, but then I kept thinking, well, maybe that's what I'm doing because the way I'm driving, I'm hurting my muscles, and I think that was probably the first beginning signs that I was starting to feel, and that was been about a year or so, a little over about a year ago, that I started feeling those chest pains, and same thing, go to the ER, they would do EKGs and run blood tests and everything else and say, yep, you're normal. And it's funny because with my heart being blocked, this is where it's weird. Like when they do a CT scan of your chest, they can see the heart and they can see if it's blocked, but they couldn't see it blocked on the CT for some reason.
I wonder why.
Isn't that weird? That's like really weird. Yeah, me too. I'm like, you know, she's like, we didn't see it was blocked on there, but it's you know, you're having a heart attack, so yeah, you're having something going on with your, you know, but there's some blockage there, so we're going to air carry you. I think that's the best bed to get you there. She goes, you could do air care or an ambulance. I said, well, I don't care. Jen's like, no, give him air care. And then as I'm wheeling me out, Jen said, do me a favor, listen to me. One thing I have to say to you, don't you die on me. I was like, I'm going to be okay.
Well, yeah. I was thinking the same thing. When she told me, I was like, oh, my God. No. I'm his podcast wife. Or sister. I'm his podcast sister.
Yeah, you
better not.
You don't want anything to happen to me.
Absolutely not.
You know.
So.
That's what I was saying.
Glad
I felt bad for her too. Because as soon as that lady said you're having a heart attack, she ran out of the room for a minute and was crying. I was like, oh man. And I was just, I think I was so doped up, I didn't even have time to react that I was having a heart attack. I mean, I was like so looped up, but, you know, I was so fucked up, I didn't even know what was happening to me.
Right.
But I'm glad I caught it.
Thank God. You know, I went to the doctor yesterday for a regular appointment. It was, you know, every 6 months they won't refill your meds unless you go have an appointment. And, get them okay.
Right.
So I had an appointment yesterday, and I was telling her about you. I said co-host a podcast. My podcast partner had a heart attack in the United Cincinnati area, and I said he was having some pain and went to the ER, and they had to give him several EKGs. And he started having it in the ER, and she rolled her eyes at me and went, do you know how rare that is?
And that's what they said. It said it's very rare that you have the heart attack in the ER and not, you know, usually have it beforehand or after you leave, you know.
Right. I gotta
They're
tell
like,
you
were at the right place at the right time.
Right. I got to tell you, getting back to politics for a minute, I got to tell you about the other conversation I had with her real quick. Did you read that? Read what I posted about her?
Yeah.
About that conversation I had?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I did. Yeah.
So when I reminded her that I co-hosted a political podcast, and we are in Arkansas, people, for all those who don't know this, I'm in Arkansas. Jerry's in Ohio. And we just, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the lion queen of Trump's White House, is our new governor. So my doctor says to me, dare I ask you what you think of Sarah Huckabee Sanders? And I looked at her and I go, yes, you may. I said, I hate that fucking bitch. And she about died laughing. And she was, you know, doctors are very polite, usually. And she looked at me and
right.
I go, dare I ask you what you think of her? And she goes, I can get along with everybody. In other words, she can accept whatever party is in office. But she says, I'll say this. She goes, Arkansas is headed in the wrong direction. And that was as far as she would go with it. That was her way of telling me, no, I don't like her. No, I don't like her. And I'd probably say the same thing if I could that you said. So, yeah. So, you know, Sarah is destroying Arkansas. I watched it today. A legislative hearing where they voted on some things.
Uh-huh.
Today they voted on the local PBS channel. They broadcast
uh-huh.
their hearings. And today the Arkansas legislature voted to ban books. They've already voted to ban
yeah.
drag.
Drags?
Yeah. And there's also they've also voted to ban abortion. They've also voted to. I mean, she is the Ron DeSantis. You know, Ron DeSantis of Florida. She is Ron DeSantis in drag herself, in a dress. She's Ron DeSantis in a dress.
That's a good point.
there's another thing she has done. According to the First Amendment, our freedom of speech right, she is banning her executives in the Arkansas government from speaking to the press without her permission. Now, that's violation of freedom of speech, and it's violation of freedom of the press. Those are both First Amendment rights. The press has a right to record what the government is doing so that everyone knows what's going on in their state, their country, their county, whatever. She is banning that privilege. I imagine there are attorneys. There are two major publications here in Arkansas. One is very liberal. The other one is almost as liberal. It's more major.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
both major. What she's trying to do is keep those two publications, they're journalists, from speaking to Arkansas executives, employees, government employees, about what's going on, about what's being voted on, you know, everything about what's going on in the government. That's naughty shit. That's what Hitler did. Hitler did this stuff. Hitler banned the press. He killed journalists. He banned... Newspapers, would only allow one newspaper, and it was all positive toward the Nazi Party. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is doing here in Arkansas. She is trying to keep the American public from knowing, and the Arkansans from knowing what she is doing and what the GOP, what the Arkansas GOP is doing, which is outrageous. That's anti-American. It's fascism.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're in hell here. We're really in hell here.
I tell you, you guys are really in trouble too, man. I mean, everybody's talking about Arkansas. You know, they always say Arkansas, Arkansas. You know, because they know that it's you guys got a fucked up situation.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and not only that, but she passed the LEARNS Act, which is the new education reform system. Putting more money into private schools than public schools. She's forcing kids into private school. But what's going to end up happening is that the rich kids will benefit from it. The rich white kids will benefit from it. There are several things about this. So it's, in other words, she's legally making segregation happen again. Because how many poor little black kids are going to be able to go to private schools?
Oh, yeah. That's what that is. It's just a way to separate blacks and whites and stuff like that.
Right. And another thing about that is that this was a system that Betsy DeVos, who was Secretary of Education during while Trump was in office, tried to implement in the whole United States and failed to do. Because what it is, and I even saw Betsy DeVos brag about it online today, saying that this is the Heritage Foundation implementation. So what the Heritage Foundation, which is owned by the remaining Koch brothers, it was the Koch brothers, there's only one alive now, but what it does is it enforces, in private schools, it's against the law to force education. I mean, religion, I'm sorry, to teach religion. You can only do that in private schools. Well, the Koch brothers and the Heritage Foundation have always tried to make America into a strictly Christian nation, which is against the Constitution. So they go about doing it in this way, private school system, because then in a private school you can teach religion. So
they could do it that way because it's not a federally state school or whatever.
Right. It's a private school system where kids probably won't get as good as the reading, writing, and arithmetic type of education. We'll get more religion, and little white kids and little black kids and poor little white kids. We are already the 48th least educated state in the country out of 50 states. Well, we have 52, but.
Oh, my God.
We are the 48th least educated state in the country. So this is basically a way of forcing parents to put their kids in private schools. And the public schools are going to lose money over it. Because if money's going
into the
new private schools, that money is being taken away from the public school system. So the public school system is going to suffer. This has been all over the news. This Sarah has been all over the news for this.
I bet she has.
I mean, not just here in Arkansas. I mean, it's on Twitter.
Yeah, they're talking
Facebook
about her in almost in other states. Everybody's talking about her too. I mean, even here, they talk about her. You know.
Really.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we hear it in the news all the time.
Oh, hang on. One more thing. One other thing she's done. She just rolled back child labor laws.
Uh-huh.
Let that sink in. You know, like, think
child
about
labor
the
laws.
Early
holy
90s.
Crap.
Yeah. You know, think about old pictures, black and white pictures you've seen from the early 1900s of little kids working in the mines or in the well, she just rolled back the law. A child under 16 no longer has to have permission from their parent in order to go to work. So, and let me tell you what that's over. Why that happened. This tells you that Sarah does not care about the kids, especially with the new. This is all about the money she's putting that money from the government, state government money into private schools and from public schools into private schools. And I know this is another reason, rolling back the child labor laws. Apparently, last year was it? They're all over Arkansas. Tyson Chicken. There's one right up the road from me, about 30 miles. And apparently last year, the one in Fayetteville, Arkansas, which is way up north close to Missouri state line. Fayetteville's a big city, great city. But anyway, a lot of Democrats live there, not enough to vote her up. Anyway, there's a Tyson Chicken plant there. And apparently, last year, they got busted for having 9 underage school kids working in their plant.
Really?
Guess who donated to Sarah's campaign?
Who's that?
Tyson Chicken.
So that's...
Does that make sense, doesn't it?
It does make sense.
Yep. Not only that, but
oh my God.
The Waltons who own Walmart donated to her campaign.
Did they really?
Oh, yeah.
All the Walmarts, you mean, the owners?
I know one did. I'm sure they all did. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean, well, think about it. Who do the Republicans pander to? They pander to the rich, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's like everything else they do. They steal from the poor to give to the rich. I was taught that when I was 17 years old by my dad. It is what it is. Always been that way, and will always be that way. The Republicans pander to the rich. So, because Democrats want these big companies like Walmart and Tyson, you know, well, Trump rolled back when Trump was in office. He rolled back taxes on the upper 1% richest companies and people in the country. He rolled back taxes for them, and he started charging the rest of the country, 99, the rest of the 99% of the country more in taxes. Okay? So that's why mm-hmm. the rich like Republicans. The rich like Republicans because they know they can count on them to have their back to keep them from paying as much in taxes. So the Republicans thrive off, they would rather the poor people pay the taxes and the rich people get by with murder and not paying taxes. So,
oh my God,
that's just how they are. So that's why Tyson and Walmart, of course, they're going to vote for any Republican that's in office because they don't want to pay their share in taxes. It is said that if the upper 1% wealthiest people in the country did pay their fair share in taxes, then they wouldn't be asking to raise the minimum age for Social Security. You know they're wanting to raise it now because of the State of the Union address. When Biden said, I'm going to save your Social Security and your Medicare. Well, because of that, now, a lot of them are backing out on that, but now they're all, instead they're saying, we want to raise the retirement age to 70.
Oh, yeah.
So if the upper wealthiest 1%, the upper wealthiest 1% of the country, companies and individuals, would pay their fair share in taxes and pay the same percentage amount that everybody else pays.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They wouldn't have to. They wouldn't be talking about raising the minimum age of retirement.
Exactly.
Because what they're trying to do is, yeah, they wouldn't be doing it. You wouldn't have to.
No. Now, the people I have to pay for right now is us. And that's what they're trying to do is get us to pay it. And it's not working out. But if you, like you said, if they were to take the 1%, the rich, the wealthy ones, they would actually have enough to pay for that. That would probably be three times the amount what we're paying.
Right. Or more.
Or more, yeah.
This is really simple. The Republicans only care about the money. They don't care about human lives. They don't care about people. It's all about the money. It's all about the money.
Yep. Follow the money trail. Isn't that what they always say? Follow the money.
Yep.
If you follow the money, it'll take you to the bullshit.
Right.
That is that's such a true statement.
Yeah. So, I see people go, why do poor people vote for them? Why do poor people vote for the Republicans? You know.
That's probably the most pondering question is why they vote for them. They're living in fucking the shittiest trailers, living with, I mean, you can tell, you look at these people, they have like the nastiest places that they live in, the shittiest vehicle, everything. But they have a fucking Donald Trump sticker on their car. I don't get that.
Yeah. It's incredible. It's hard. It's because they have just called, you know what it is, they're called the Conservative Party. So,
yep.
We're not into gays. We don't want you, you know.
Yeah, we don't want you homosexuals.
We, We don't want you homosexuals. You're not going to cut on our children. You're not, you're not going to, I mean, God forbid you have an abortion, you know. Just, and they don't, this is what the Republicans get them on. And by the way, is there anything else you want to talk about? Because I was speaking of abortion. There's something going on in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to talk about
that. Yeah, that's right.
I wanted to talk about
is that the one? Is that the one where they were passing? Where was it they were passing about the, like, some about if a woman has an abortion that, you know, they put her to death, you know, like they basically execute her if she. This is a law that they're either, I think the bill they're trying to pass, but it's in one of these states, and I don't know which one it is, but. Brian Taylor Cohen was talking about it, and I didn't know. Do you know which one that is, or have you heard about that?
I cannot. Yeah, I've heard about it, but I can't remember what state it is. But that's not what I was going to talk about. Texas has some of the harshest abortion laws in the country. There are 5 Texan women who have filed a lawsuit against the state. Because all 5 of them have experienced horrifying situations during the pregnancy. The main one involved in the lawsuit is a woman who had a hard time getting pregnant. Let's put this out there first. She had a hard time getting pregnant. She went through in vitro fertilization process for 18 months before she finally got pregnant. Her and her husband were thrilled to death. And then, while she was pregnant, the amniotic fluid sac around the baby got a hole in it.
Oh yeah.
And busted.
Oh shit.
Okay. That is a protective layer between the baby and the mother's internal organs.
Oh, my God.
When the amniotic sac broke, she went septic.
Oh,
my God.
She
almost died. She almost died. She was on the death table. And you know what? They couldn't give her an abortion. You know why? Because the baby still had a heartbeat. Because the baby still had a heartbeat.
That's what it is, yeah. Because of their law.
Yes. They would choose a baby. Listen, my first baby, my amniotic sac broke, but I went to the hospital that day, and she was due. So they went ahead and put me in labor. They put that drug in my vein and put me in labor, and I gave birth the next morning or that day, that evening, something. I can't remember what time it was. But anyway, mine didn't bust till the baby was due. So I was lucky. I was able to give birth. And because that's what they told me then. They were afraid that if they didn't induce my labor, I would go septic, and there's a possibility of death. When septicemia takes effect, you can die in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
They did a big news conference with these 5 women and their attorney that filed the lawsuit the other day. And she told her story. And Texas didn't give a shit. It wasn't until she was literally, they had a heart monitor on her and she was fading, that they finally decided to give her an abortion.
That is so fucked up.
And it, as she said,
you know,
it may have, It may affect her future. She already had a hard time getting pregnant. It may affect her future trying to get pregnant because of this.
She should sue them.
That's what she's doing. That's what
the
lawsuit is about.
Yeah, that's what she should do. And
that's
you
what
know what? And by
about.
The way, so we were just talking about that so South Carolina is the one they have a bill that allows death penalty for abortion. It says it could pass. This is just recently. They're about ready to pass this thing in the next day or two. And also another state that's looking into this to do it as well is Texas. Texas is doing this as well. So there's two states that are trying to do this. Imagine that, Republican states.
It is absolutely outrageous. In this particular case, and in most cases, it is health care. It's about health care for women. Mm-hmm. It's not just
about
getting rid of the baby. It's not just about getting rid of the baby. Oh, I don't want to have a baby now or whatever, or a rape or incest. This is about health care. So they're showing they're absolutely asses that they don't care about the lives of women. And the thing is, is that in a lot of these cases, there's going to be something wrong with the baby to begin with. So it's either going to be born extremely deformed, it's going to die shortly after birth, it's going to be stillborn anyway, and yet they're more concerned about a baby that's going to die anyway than they are the mother, the living, breathing woman with a life that already has a life, a husband, family members, a home, all that. They're more concerned about a baby that's going to die anyway than they are the mother. It's absolutely sickening. So
it is sickening.
These abortion laws are archaic. They're horrendous. They are, they're being passed by knuckle-dragging Republicans that don't care, give a shit. And by the way, for you idiots out there, the Bible says, that are listening and disagreeing with me, the Bible, if you're Bible thumpers, the Bible states that a life doesn't, this is in the Old Testament, so it's God speaking. God says that life does not begin until the first breath is taken. In other words, until a child is born. So when you're trying to say that it's a baby, it's a fetus, it's a zygote, it's a clump of cells, it's a bunch of cells, it's not a baby until you get to the very end, 9 months into it. So give me this crap about, oh, well, it's a baby when the egg meets the No. Don't give me that.
No, it's not.
Are you getting tired?
We got the show in for a short show. We've got like maybe 10 minutes left anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, I am getting a little tired. That's why I was letting you talk and stuff and keep me from having to talk as much, but
I can hear
you know,
it in your
voice. I was going to ask you a question there. I was going to ask you about, there was something I was going to ask. Did you know about that? Did you hear about that thing I mentioned earlier about the Republican senator who was contacting that gay boy, young man?
Yeah. I posted about it. Yeah. Republicans are such hypocrites.
Yeah.
They're such hypocrites.
But they do things in the background, and they like to do things in the background and not tell anybody. And when they're caught, they're like, "Oh, I didn't do that." He was that lieutenant governor guy was trying to say that he was trying to reach out to the kid to help him, to give him advice. And it's like, no, you weren't. You were actually talking sexual talk to this kid.
Yeah, right. Well, okay. That's like last year. That's like the guy that's come forward, the straight guy, married guy, who was a campaign worker for Herschel Walker during the campaign. And
oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, let me tell this story real quick. Matt Schlapp, mm-hmm. who is the head of CPAC. CPAC stands for Conservative Political Action Conference. They hold it once a year. So this guy went to CPAC. I think it was, no, or Matt Schlapp went to an event. Yeah, went to an event for Herschel Walker, I think it was. So Matt Schlapp asked this campaign worker, straight, married, et cetera, invites him out for drinks. So they go to one place, and he wants to go to another one. Well, they go to the other one. They get in the car and go to the other one. And I don't know if it was during this time on the way to the other one. No, it was after they left that one. But while they're in the second bar, Matt Schlapp basically presses his body up against this guy. And he was all kinds of weirded out. All kinds of weirded out. And there's nothing wrong with being gay. There's nothing wrong with, but this is the leader. This is a big name in the Republican Party, Matt Schlapp. Okay? He's not a lawmaker. He's not in the government, but he is one of the biggest names in the Republican Party that is not in government. Anyway, after they leave the second bar, Matt Schlapp starts asking him if he wants to go back to his hotel room with him. Puts his hand on his knee while he's driving and moves it up to his crotch.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, it's not the fact that Matt Schlapp did this. It's the fact that he did it, and yet it's totally, says he's anti-gay, anti-trans, speaks on it, posts about it, tweets about it, and his wife is like an activist for anti-gay, anti-trans rights. So it's the hypocrisy. It's about the hypocrisy of these people saying they're totally against this, just like the guy you talked about. And then act a different way, complete opposite.
Yeah.
You know, if you're gay or bisexual, say it, don't fight against it, and don't condemn it. And don't pass laws against it. It's ridiculous.
Exactly.
So.
You know, they shouldn't. And that's what it is. You know, and the bad thing is the Republican Party is becoming, it's going to get, people don't realize how fucked up it's going to get. It's getting worse, and it's just going to continue until people start voting against them. And I mean, that's what we need to do. Is to get these fuckers out of office because they're destroying our country. So,
right.
You know.
Yeah, and the thing is they're fighting back on that even. Did you know?
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that Jim Jordan and the, the Oversight Committee or the other one, Weaponization of Government Committee, I think that's the one.
Oh, God.
Jim Jordan is doing everything in his power to take down the prosecutors for January 6th, the J6 committee, the DOJ, the FBI. Yeah. He calls it the weaponization of government.
Really?
That's what they're calling it. Yes. So the people that are actually going after these traitors, he's going after the people that are going after the traitors. It's absurd.
Oh my God. Crazy. Crazy shit, Paula. And we have to sit back and listen to this shit. As much as we want to just bite our tongues on shit, but you can't.
Our country is in peril because of Republicans. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. Our country is in peril because of the Republicans. They're taking away our rights, our civil rights. They're taking away our voting rights. They're taking away our freedom of speech. They're the ones screaming freedom of speech, and yet they're the ones wanting to take it away. It's absurd. Absolutely absurd.
Hey, real quick, did you see that in Idaho they're trying to they're pushing to try to absorb half of Oregon? And so they have a sign that says "Divided America," and so they're trying to have a sign saying that. Well, they're putting these signs up that says "Move Oregon's border."
You're kidding.
You're
kidding.
No,
I did not. I did not know that. I did not know that.
They want to absorb They want to absorb their counties to be absorbed into Idaho. Here's what it says. The discontent of rural communities with their urban and often liberal counterparts has been a longstanding sentiment across the U.S. Now they want to move their borders out of liberal areas and closer to Republican conservative territories.
Well, that's there is the excuse me. There is when MTG said she wants a divorce for blue and red states. There's part of it right there.
Well, yeah, it's it is, man. And by the way, they also says here, I'm just reading some of the news stories, it says Fulton County investigators have another recording of Trump's phone call persuading a Georgia official to find ballots.
Unbelievable.
So they have a second
That's another reason people like Jim Jordan and the Republicans are doing all this bullshit. It's because Donald Trump is running for president again. And yet he's about to be indicted. They're saying he's on the verge of being indicted in New York for paying Stormy Daniels. You know, and people are saying, well, he didn't do it. Then why did Michael Cohen, who gave the money to Stormy Daniels, have to spend time in jail that was given to him by Donald Trump?
Absolutely. That motherfucker is getting ready to go to jail. And I cannot wait until that happens because it's coming really quick. And I don't think he's going to be able to make it to 2024 to be running for president. I know people think that, but I truly believe with all the lawsuits he has, out of one of those lawsuits, out of the five or whatever major ones that they have, he's going to be indicted on one of those, at least one of those. And he's going to go to jail. He's not going to be able to run for president. I guarantee you that's going to happen. And of course, they'll say they'll say it's Democrats doing it.
You know what a lot of people are saying? They're saying, well, it's been 7 years they've been saying that, and it hasn't happened yet. Or it's actually been about 5 or 6 years. So.
What's that?
What? They've been saying that he's going to get indicted. They've been saying he's going to get indicted. And he hasn't been indicted yet. So,
I know.
So, basically they're saying, right. He's going to be indicted again, Like, that's going to happen because it has not happened yet.
Well, I think they're just trying to play this under the radar. And honestly, if they were coming out saying, well, we're going to investigate Donald Trump, he could possibly be indicted on all charges and going to prison, I truly believe they're afraid that he's going to flee the fucking country or something, you know.
I don't think he'll do that.
Well, I would hope not.
I don't know what the motherfucker just doesn't die.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand that, you know.
Why does God take the... I shouldn't question God. But why do the good people... Why will die early? And this evil motherfucker is still alive.
Yeah, I don't understand why, you know, he can just continuously, you know, walk this earth and be the way he is. And...
Right.
Nothing happens. And that's what he believes. He believes he's above everything. And that's what pisses me off more than anything is that he's so cocky, he believes I can get away with anything. And he will. And a lot of times he does get away with a lot of shit. But he's like, oh, I got all these fascinating lawyers. They're going to go after you. But I truly believe that that's why he needs to be indicted. They need to make him... an example to the... I mean, look at Murdaugh's murders, Alex Murdaugh. I mean, that's a perfect example of a wealthy, rich man, attorney, killing his family and going to prison. You know,
that
shows us that, you know, because he... And that's a guy that got away with a lot of... He's just like Donald Trump. His family got away with a lot of shit and because he knew the judges and the sheriff and he knew the... everybody, even in politics. And so this is a prime example of what, you know, we're looking at when it comes to Donald Trump.
Right. Yeah, Murdaugh was so – the Murdaugh family was so important that in North Carolina, I think it was North Carolina, that a picture of his grandfather was in the courtroom where his hearing was held, and they had to take it down. Did you know that?
Oh, my God. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. The Murdaugh family was so big and so important in North Carolina that a picture of his grandfather was in the courtroom, and they had to remove it while the hearing was going on.
My God. That would be weird to see that up there. While he's about ready to face the penalty. I knew that guy was the murderer right from the start because you could just tell it in his demeanor.
Right. Want to get off here?
Yeah.
And get some rest?
Yeah.
Want to get off here?
Yeah, I think I'm about ready to.
Okay.
So we got let's let you end up the show and then we'll close it up.
Okay. Want to thank everybody for listening across the world in the United States. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to provide some truth to you, what's going on behind the scenes, and maybe enlighten you on the Republican Party and what they're truly all about. And hopefully we'll be back here. Jerry will feel like it, and I'll feel like it on Sunday, to come back and do another show. And you guys have a good rest of the week and weekend. and assalamu alaikum. May peace be with you. Good night, everybody.
Absolutely. Good night, everybody. Have a good night. Take care. We love you. And once again, join us Sunday at, I believe Sunday's at, it's either 10 or 11 p.m. But if you check the blog talk listings, you'll find out. Have a good night, everybody. Just stay tuned.